This is the Valley Outdoors, and glad to have you guys with us. I am not kidding. This is going to be one of the best shows ever. We're going to be talking a little bit about a past trip that we took, the Fish With Us, I think we called it.
Yep,
and, Fish With Us. Fish With Us. Don, in fact, is coming back from the hinterlands. He's with us. Ava's with us. And Kirk, me, I'm here. We're going to have a fun time. And trust me, you do not want to miss this show. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to hear everybody is here. Or it's good to see everybody's here.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Those of you listening can't see that, but you have to hear that. So, Don?
You know, it's one of the things I always wanted to be able to do was to go on a lengthy fishing trip, which I just completed, and enjoyed every minute of it.
Nice. Well, we'll just talk a little bit about that later in the show.
I'm sure we will.
Little tease on that. We had a lot of fun, and I think everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, I can tell you. In fact, well, when we get into it, we actually got some. I should have brought it. I got some thank you cards.
Oh, very nice.
Which, from some of our guests that we took along with us.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun at some point maybe to have one of those maybe visit with us, and they can tell
yeah,
us what kind,
I think
of,
so.
What kind
I think,
of trip they had.
Well, and I think if they're talking nice about us, then we might try to do another trip.
Well, and I'm guessing they're going to register for it too.
You think?
I think they will.
I think that's definitely a possibility. You know, Don, since we've been up there, lots of changes in weather. And not that I like to talk about weather all the time, but when you talk transitions, there's a lot of things that happen. I mean, last 2 weeks ago, it was, what, 88 degrees, and a week and a half, 2 weeks ago? So really what ends up happening, you've got such a transition that's happened quick, and I was hoping the water temperature would drop. You wake up in the mornings. I was out at the club, there's a workout place right on the river, and you can see, and every morning you go and it's just steam coming up, and it's cooling down pretty quick, which is great. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
The fish start to go on the feed. You start to get some movement, even though we don't have a lot of water flow right now. Really changes, but the fun part is it starts to activate fish. They start to sense that, oh, guess what, as well as moon phase and sun, you know, the drop in sunlight. So a lot of changes coming up. So you have to realize is if you were catching fish in those scenarios, things are going to change. You need to make sure that you change with them. Don't be afraid to be active. Really make those milk run spots help you and be more successful. A prime example coming up, the Masters Walleye Circuit is going to be coming up. I think it's next week, and they're going to be hard-pressed to be looking for fish, and it's going to be milk run. Stop here, check it, fish it, use your electronics, mark it. Story coming up shows just what electronics can do, but utilizing those pieces and parts so you're not fishing unproductive water, you can target fish. Hey, there's fish here. Let's fish it and see what we can come up with. So really focusing on that and developing a milk run so you can find some fish, especially in transition, and once those fish really turn the feed bag on, then it's game on. So you get later in the, to the middle of October time frame. So a lot of cool stuff that can go into that. But big thing, don't be afraid to adapt, change, and really be open to movement. Because the old saying goes, Don, if you heard me say it, doesn't take long to stay a while. Next thing you know, you're an hour and a half into a spot, and you've got maybe a nibble, and that was it. But you get sucked in. So don't get sucked in. Give that 15-minute a spot. Set your times.
We call that run and gun.
And run and gun, which you did up at the at Cabotogama to find those fish. So, thought it was a cool story. Just recently, last couple of days, we were at a distributor, electronics boat marine distributor show that was not too far from here, and looking at all the new electronics that are coming out and some of the neat stuff that the companies have developed. I saw the new Mega Live in action, which is pretty cool. and a lot of neat little things. But I was surprised. I had a gentleman come in today, one of the stores, and he was a fireman in a local fire department, and he said they're looking at getting a different boat, but they use electronic sight imaging a lot, and we talked a lot about that. And the story follows it, and it's out of North Carolina. A fisherman finds a stolen BMW in a lake. North Carolina fisherman spotted something very odd and large on his sonar. He was cruising along at Lake Wylie outside Charlotte last month. He reported it to the police. Further investigation by the York County Sheriff's Office determined the car was sitting 20 feet down and about 50 feet from the shoreline in this particular section of the lake. This particular date, just last week, the department's dive team assisted in a multi-department operation recovering the vehicle. It turned out to be a BMW 5 Series. It was reported stolen 2017 from Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's a terrible place to park it.
I know.
What a shame.
You don't have to worry about anybody dinging your doors.
No.
Nope, not a problem. Giant float bags were used to bring the sedan to the surface, and they towed it to the boat ramp. And it's not unusual for the fishermen to find such elements, but not quite that far out in the lake, usually, is what they had said. They find cars, but usually it's close to shoreline.
How far out was it?
They said it was about 50 feet from the shoreline.
Well, he's probably moving along pretty good when he hit the water.
It reminds me of Christmas Vacation. Hey, Dad, how far do you think we flew? 30 feet? No, Russ, we went well over 100. And then to fix it, how much is it going to cost? How much you got?
Right.
But, kind of one of those things really proves that electronics is amazing. They use it for body recoveries and as well. So a lot of things that really benefits as well as finding fish. So a recent note out of Minnesota, a letter from the Outdoors Coalition is demanding a moratorium on deer and elk farms in Minnesota. This came out of the Outdoor News, thanks to Rob Driesline, a report on a group of state and national outdoor organizations this week, unveiled the position statement on farmed operations in Minnesota for deer and elk. They basically said the Minnesota Conservation Federation, lead organization in this particular legislation/ruling, said that they're looking at having that implementation. Signatures from that also came from the MDHA, Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, Buffalo and Whitetails, Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, National Deer Association, and National Wildlife Federation. I mean, a ton of people. And the demands of the coalition is calling for an immediate moratorium on new captive deer and elk operations in Minnesota. And it's because of all the chronic wasting, CWD, chronic wasting disease, that's coming into play at this particular time. So, entertainment, no, this is not a good thing. And I think that's about the only way they're going to be able to stop it at this point, is not have any more new of those deer operations and elk operations within Minnesota. So kind of a sad deal.
Is that similar situation in Wisconsin, do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. They haven't put it forth any regulations or recommendations to prevent that, but they're still there. So that's kind of it. All right, stay tuned. We are going to be talking about our little Ashkenam trip and Don's top five. It may be more like three, but five sounds better. So we'll stick with that. Stay tuned for more. Don doesn't know anything about this, so this ought to be entertaining. We'll be right back.